Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Amen. Please be seated. We have developed a practice at our vestry meetings that we begin with a short Bible study that looks often at the gospel for the following week. So this past week at our Bible study, we heard this gospel passage, and the phrase that many people came up with as they listened to it was the one I just read. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. So I thought I would look at that phrase for my homily this day. Doesn't this sound like a common, simple saying of Jesus? However, this message has a much deeper meaning for those who would have heard this passage during Jesus' time. Children, in the context of the Jews and Roman of Jesus' time, were a two-edged sword. First, they were a blessing in that they represented the future. Those who would take over the family business, work the land for the family, care for the elderly relatives, and provide future generations when they grew up. However, children were also partly a liability. They represented more mouths to feed. Often they would contract illness and die, and their status was roughly that of a slave. And they were not as productive as grown slaves. They were both part of the household, which had a power status, something that slaves would never had. They were, in essence, insiders who were as on the outside as long as they were children. Most likely, Jesus picked up a child of one of his disciples who followed him and told them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." He picked up this child and said to his disciples out of response to a conversation that they were having about who was the greatest. In this simple lesson, Jesus is teaching his followers that he isn't interested in who we say is the greatest or who even acts like the greatest or looks to be great. Jesus' interest is in those who act with the greatest grace, compassion, and love. Using a child who has limited power over any aspect of their lives, he urges his followers to show compassion for those who have no power. Again, turning the wisdom of this world upside down. Compassion for the powerless. Are we much more different than those first century followers of Jesus? As a parent, I can understand the dilemma of those first century followers. Raising children is hard work. As someone once said to me, children will bring you the greatest joys known in life, as well as the greatest pain and sadness imaginable. I can resonate with that part about them being another mouth to feed and sending them to school and not able to contribute to the running of the household. Even keeping their rooms clean is a huge chore. The effort I put into getting them to pick up their stuff and put things away sometimes is just short of maddening. Have anybody here ever dealt with this problem? In spite of their limited ability and power, they exert the dominant influence in my household. They may not make the decisions, but they're definitely in charge. Maybe that's God's justice, since they are largely powerless to live independent lives by themselves. And as my oldest is starting high school this year, and my twins have started middle school, I'm entering that special time where I will have three teenagers in the house at the same time. I'm told by those who've gone through this already that my fun is just beginning. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. In many parts of our world, children are still considered property to do with as family members please. Their rights for basic well-being and protection are not of primary importance. The United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child has been in place since 1990. This declaration was actually authored back in 1959, but not ratified until 1990 by the countries of the United Nations. Only three countries did not sign on to this treaty at the time: Somalia, South Sudan, and the United States of America. The U.S. finally signed on in 1995, and Somalia in 2002. South Sudan remains the only country in the world not to have signed this treaty that provides language such as, "A state has an obligation to protect children from all forms of maltreatment. A state has special obligations in respect of children without families, refugee children, and children with disabilities. There is no enforcement of these principles by the UN, and it's up to each country to interpret their meaning. In spite of this treaty, many countries and cultures still consider children to be property, giving them no basic rights of their own as individuals," which is what puzzles me about what our country has done with respect to the refugee children at our border, using them as pawns to stop their parents from fleeing their own countries, which, by the way, is illegal in the treaty we signed on refugees, as well as this treaty on the rights of the child. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Something that sounds so easy can actually be easier said than done, even in our churches. I've always encouraged congregations where I've served to be tolerant of the kids in church. If they make a disturbance, we should just overlook it and move on. At St. James, before coming here to you, we had a severely nonverbal autistic child who came weekly with his guardian because the original church they went to said they were not welcome because he would be disruptive from time to time during worship. And when that would happen, I would say, "Zachary is offering us his song," because that's exactly what it was. He was offering what he could in our worship service. The message of extending compassion to those who do not have power or access to the structures of power is a constant theme in Jesus' teaching. The ability to place special value on those things or persons whose society says have little value, children, slaves, the poor, immigrants and refugees, folks of different races or cultures, the outcast, is core to our identity as a follower of Jesus Christ. As the Bible says repeatedly, we are to care for the orphan, the widow, and the alien in your midst. This persistent message of Jesus can make us a little uncomfortable and to squirm in our seats. The Hebrew scriptures time and time again remind the Jewish people to take special care of the aliens in their land and to welcome the stranger, for you too were aliens in a foreign land. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, reminds us that we were once orphans and now are adopted sons and daughters of God through the saving work of Jesus Christ. May each of us be given the grace to extend welcome to those in positions with little power, thus more fully welcoming Christ into our lives, our homes, and our community. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Amen.
Amen.